Kigali, Rwanda, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
And best wishes and good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
For KBOO Evening News, this is Sam Bowman speaking with Jean-Claude Nkundwa, a peace worker based in Burundi, currently living in Kigali, Rwanda.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Big Waters Falling Up Tour, Tuesday, November 14th at 8 p.m. at the Paris Theater in Portland. Portland locals Big Water will be closing out their Falling Up Tour, featuring special guest Danielle Betancourt on the violin. Big Water will also be sponsoring a feeding for houseless people through AMA Global Care and the Paris Theater. Again, that's Big Water's Falling Up Tour, Tuesday, November 14th at 8 p.m. at the Paris Theater, 6 Southwest 3rd Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The time is 6 p.m. and you're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. Coming up next is Labor Radio, followed by Prison Pipeline at 6:30 and Hard Knock Radio at 7 p.m.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Labor Radio, of the working class, by the working class, for the working class. The only program of its type in Oregon or Southwest Washington. I'm Steven Siegel, and I'm missing my co-host once again, Chris Reiser. Chris, we miss you here. Hope to get you back next month. Also sitting with me are three wonderful teachers who will introduce themselves in just a second. And just a quick reminder that Labor Radio comes on every Monday at 6 o'clock. Chris and I are public school teachers, and we host every second Monday of the month. So, thanks for being here, you guys. Why don't you introduce yourselves and tell us where and what grade or what subjects you are currently teaching.
I am Sarah Beth Leach. I am a language arts teacher with Portland Public Schools.
And my name is Sarah Brown. I am a K-5 art educator in Portland Public Schools.
And I'm Jadra Johnson, an English teacher at Portland Public Schools at the high school level.
Gotcha. So you're all PAT members then?
Yes, we are.
Great. Well, tell us a little bit more about your teaching backgrounds. I always like to include that when we're talking with teachers, just to hear a little bit about when they got into teaching, why they got into teaching, just a little bit about your story.
Yeah, I have been teaching for 12 years in the metro area and was pulled to public education as someone who, since I've been a small child, was involved in justice work and really focusing on what is fairness and what is liberty. And so I was seeking that path out for a really long time and realized that public education is probably one of the most impactful places in terms of what is civil rights and what is empowering people. And so my different roles and my different titles sort of all led me back to the high school classroom. And I get to work with youth in terms of determining what is justice and how will they use their voice to acquire that.
Wow, great.
I came to education in sort of a roundabout way. In working in lots of different industries and realized that the driving force in getting me to work every day was working with art in many different media, but also working with children and families and, you know, understanding that art for me was a tool for social change and that giving that to young people was immensely rewarding and powerful for me as both an artist and a human.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I guess it all starts for me like at the very beginning. I grew up in a family that experienced a lot of poverty, incarceration, drug abuse, underemployment. And I was the one person, for whatever reason, that was really school successful. So pretty early on, I saw how my success in school was really impacting my life chances. And also the way it was impacting those in my family who weren't as successful in the system. Mm-hmm. So very early on, I observed the inequalities in the system. And I started out actually more in social work and alternative schools. I worked with kids exiting prisons and doing some GED teaching and case managing and stuff. And yeah, that just led me to the public school classroom for similar reasons these other ladies said.
Yeah, there's some common themes there in those stories for you three. Well, you're all part of a group of teachers called the Critical Educators Collective, and I would love to hear about that group. Why don't you start just by talking about how it got started?
Yeah, well, the Critical Educators Collective sort of grew out of a need. A few of us as graduate students of education decided that, you know, we were sort of the only, we felt like the only people in the room with this common feeling that that social justice education was the only type of education for us, that teaching in a way that was continuing to marginalize the historically marginalized groups was not going to work for us. So we decided to meet together to discuss critical topics and learn more about social justice education and the history of it and how we could put our new tools into action in our classrooms as student teachers. From there, we brought in other educators that were looking for similar professional development and organizing opportunities. And it's given us a great, like, a think tank, but also a place to practice our work, to try out lessons, to sort of to kind of flail in a sense in a space that was really welcoming and that we all have the same goals and the same values and sort of pushing each other to learn the things that we want to learn, but also to learn from each other.
So are you sharing things through meetings that you have, or mostly online, or how are you communicating with other folks in the group and sharing ideas? And
yeah, we have a monthly meeting, and things have sort of have evolved as we, the core group of us, left graduate school. We've taken it away from the higher education world and really focused on our own identities as teachers. And so we meet monthly, and that monthly structure has changed a little bit. We plan actions and we teach each other and we reflect on our teaching practices. And I think one of the best things is having leaders in social justice come to share their wisdom with us. And so we do meet locally in Portland.
And when you talk about leaders, how do you identify somebody, and then do you just invite them to come and talk, or how do you gather some of their wisdom?
Gosh, I think we've always kind of had a running wish list of folks that we could bring in and ways that we could really get the professional development that we want or we might not be getting from other places. But I think it kind of comes naturally, sort of organically. Mm-hmm. One of us will meet someone or read a book or find out that someone's in town. Or I feel really empowered by working with this group to say this is the kind of information that we want and this is what we need and this is who can help give it to us and share with us so that we can grow further as educators and teachers and activists.
Can you share a name of somebody that comes to mind that has had some impact on you recently?
Yeah, sure. So we have had multiple workshops with Linda Christensen and Bill Bigelow, mm-hmm. famed local social justice educators. Yes, so those are just schools. A couple of people mm-hmm. that we kind of return to over and over.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, just any opportunity that presents itself. Mm-hmm. I think we all feel really empowered as a group. Each one of us to kind of approach people as the inspiration strikes. Gotcha. And just ask them to join us. And we do usually try to make our meetings as participatory as possible, so not as much like a lecture-based situation, but more something where we're actually doing and practicing, something that we can take back either to our classroom or union or the community in some way.
Gotcha.
Okay. And I feel like some of the initial real grassroots beginnings of the Critical Educators Collective is that sometimes it's not someone coming in to give us information. Sometimes it's the messy and beautiful work of us in a room together coming up with, what does this look like? What do we need, and how do we give it to ourselves? Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, where the magic has happened for us.
Gotcha. Did some of you go to graduate school together?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Most of us.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. And so, and when did, so this group sort of formed when you were in graduate school?
Yeah, I think
just continued it after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say about halfway through we realized, like, hey, we want a book club that we can meet in between classes for 1 hour and talk about one chapter or mull over what is the meaning of the title of this book. And then we're like, hey, well, now we can meet in this room for free after school's over. And I think we suddenly realized we were like this amazing group of thinkers who really wanted to put that thought into action. And we were doing it in our classrooms every day. We were talking about it when we weren't teaching. And we wanted a support group so that we knew that we could stick together and that we could do this work. Not in a vacuum or in a classroom, but outside of the classroom.
Yeah. I think it's great that you all have this group, too, to support each other. I know that it can be lonely work certently in your own classroom, you can feel isolated. But even in a building, people don't necessarily walk around saying, hey, I'm all about social justice, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes it's not that obvious who cares and who doesn't. Especially if you're in your own classroom most of the time. It's not like you have a staff meeting and people say, who's really passionate about social justice and wants to get together and do this work? So, you guys having that support just seems like a great way to go. Have you had any particular challenges that you've had to face as a group so far?
Yeah, I would say that continuing to grow our membership has been complicated. Like you said, teachers are overworked and overwhelmed, and the teaching profession, I think, is such an unwelcome place for many marginalized groups. And so, we're always working to expand our membership and get more voices in the room and hear from more people and really be in a space that feels diverse and feels like there's many represented voices, and so we're struggling with that a little bit. But I think that many great teachers that we would love to be working with in the CEC are taxed enough already in their jobs and other activist work that it can really be difficult to ask someone to come to another meeting, mm-hmm. Where yeah. they are, talk and listen and participate. And,
yeah, it reminds me of a group that I was a part of. Here called Social Equality Educators, mm-hmm. and we really had a lot of energy and enthusiasm for doing some good work. And then at one point, and I think I'm telling this because I'm thinking, don't do this. at one point, we were all, whether we were part of PAT or like myself, part of another teachers union, we were all pretty focused on the PAT bargaining, and it was getting right down to looking like a strike. And so we thought, let's just put everything on hold for a while. And because we are putting so much of our energy into that right now, mm-hmm. we don't have the time right now. Let's just put everything on hold. Well, it's still on hold, right? And it's like, 3 years later. So yeah, so there's some dangers in putting something on hold. There's something to just keeping the momentum going, even if you're tired and maybe you just have a short meeting, or maybe you, mm-hmm. yeah. Anyway, I just thought I'd pass that along. Do you have any sort of agreed upon values or platform, or, I mean, could a Trump supporter join your group?
We've set up a leadership monologue that's co-facilitated that sort of intentionally shares responsibility. We have a rotating chair. We have like a set of wouldn't call them bylaws, but a set of norms, and we, you know, we reference our norms. Actually, Sarah Beth is our norms checker in our meeting, some to just reaffirm what it is that we're doing and mm-hmm. to remind folks what we've agreed upon in the mm-hmm. room, and it keeps us mindful and keeps us engaged throughout our process. And so I think that if a Trump supporter were in our space, I think we understand that not we don't all have the same opinion about mm-hmm. everything. But if if our members or our participants aren't adhering to the norms that we've agreed upon, then that's clear. It hasn't happened though.
Yeah. Okay.
We also do have a really clear mission and vision that we came up with. I can't mm-hmm. quote it from memory, mm-hmm. but I think in its essence, it just says like we're here to fight for justice in our classrooms, in our schools, and in our communities. And so we welcome anyone that shares those values mm-hmm. and that vision for public education as something that's empowering and working towards a better society for everyone.
Great.
We had a little bit of that kind of that's a little bit of that exposure. Back in February, we hosted a teaching in the time of Trump as a way to respond to some very clear and obvious changes that were going on in the administration and how that might radically or devastatingly affect our communities and the students that we teach and their mm-hmm. families. And so we did deal with a little bit of that coming from people in the area. And really it kind of fueled our fire and our focus and gathering amazing people for a panel discussion, activists from our community who were there to really describe what was going to happen and what this administration might look like for the groups that they serve. And those are the groups that we serve as teachers. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Say a little more about that event. Unfortunately, I missed it.
Yeah. Well, it was much bigger than we ever anticipated. Mm-hmm. We were, we're crossing our fingers for maybe 80 folks to come and co-create what this teach-in would look like. And we gathered over 450 teachers and community members
wow.
from the metro area to learn from community social justice movement educators and leaders and who are most impacted by the Trump administration. And our goal was organizing against the forces that produced the administration and to plan for how educators can organize and resist and teach in the time of Trump. So the day consisted of a panel of community members followed by working groups where we broke out into specifics.
Topics.
Thank you. Yeah. Topics that that would help support our best teaching practices. And there were teachers and there were people who are not teachers. There were teachers in all senses of the word and educators and preschool teachers who were like, how is this going to affect my little ones and what am I going to do and how am I going to support them? So our goal was really to hold space for sharing experiences about what this time would bring and how we could act in solidarity with our neighbors and students and educational communities.
Great.
It was hugely successful, I think.
Wildly.
We're ready for another one.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Labor Radio. So you are about to start what you refer to as an inquiry to action group. Tell us about this new group that you're promoting.
Yeah, as Sarah and Jadra have both touched on, this group is really modeling teacher as learner and teacher as organizer. And we started with a reading group that was looking at some materials of how do we bring about collective action. Like as you mentioned earlier, teachers can be consumed with the daily grind of the classroom and can be really separated from each other in a building. And so we started doing a lot of reading around what unions were doing for connecting with their communities and advocating for things in their spaces. And through this reading, we started looking at a lot of participatory popular education models with social justice educators in Philly and New York City, and through reading their materials, and actually through, I know Matt Reed reached out to the Philadelphia crew and just said, how does this work? How can we take this enthusiasm and this energy and this spirit that we have and put it into action where we can see the momentum and that we can feel that, you know, what we had going with the teach-in was impacting our communities? And so we looked at other inquiry to action groups in Chicago and Seattle and New York and what they had done in recent years, and started saying, okay, what do we want to do? What is our question that we have? What are we wondering about? And we came up with a question of, you know, how do we use our power as educators through our unions to fight for the schools, our students, and what our communities deserve? And we let that be our guiding question. And through that material, we said, okay, you know, we can have that question, but what does it mean to bring other people to the table? What does it mean to actually create a collective response? And so that's where we're at right now, is organizing this series of workshop sessions to really sort of say, hey, we have a lot of knowledge combined. We have a lot of leadership combined. And what would it mean to create this action-focused study group full of dynamic people that could actually create a really specific targeted goal to gather around?
Yeah. So, and you're calling this group?
We are calling it Social Movement Unionism, and really focusing on hope in hard times.
Gotcha. So now you three are all with Portland Association of Teachers, with PAT, mm-hmm. but you have folks in your group from other local teachers' mm-hmm. unions as well, right?
Yeah, actually from around the Pacific Northwest, and folks who are in, you know, public school classrooms, private school classrooms, charter schools, community educators, you know, in the group itself, but even in this inquiry to action group, we have members from PAT, BAA, REA, and David Douglas as well. So it's really folks uniting from different areas around the city.
Okay. And are any of you involved in any particular way with your union as far as holding any sort of office or responsibility?
Jadra and I are part of the Social Justice Community Organizing Committee through PAT. But holding office, not yet.
Yeah,
I'm a building rep my building as well.
Okay, great. And have you had any conversations with your union leadership about this project?
I believe that one of our fellow critical educators, collective members, Matt Reed, has been in communication with some of the leadership for PAT and BEA, mm-hmm. As well as the, I think, NEA or OEA, some acronym. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm not sure exactly where we are with that, but yeah. Okay. I think he's been speaking with them.
Yeah, I would be curious just to hear what the response would be, and maybe mm-hmm. the response would vary depending on mm-hmm. who you were talking with.
Yeah.
So any particular hope for what's going to come out of this, or are you feeling like it's pretty open-ended?
Well, the kind of the focus of an inquiry to action group is the action part, starting with a question and using the meeting time. It's not really a set and get style workshop, but yeah. like really participatory. We're using that time for work time. We have a code of no homework because mm-hmm. We are so taxed in trying to provide quality education for our students and doing other activist work in the community. So we really want to focus on pretty quickly looking at some examples of actions that have been taken in this spirit throughout the United States, and then trying to plan and implement an action within the, is it 6 weeks? Mm-hmm. Within the 6 week period. So
pretty fast.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Going back to your locals, and maybe you just want to talk about PAT, then what are your impressions of PhD, and I'm leaving that broad mm-hmm. so you can respond how you want to respond.
I've never been a member of any union, and so I think as a newer teacher, I found that going to the rep assemblies and meeting with my union folks and getting really close to them has made me feel a connection to not just to my job, but also to the people who are there to support me in my job, mm-hmm. More so than in any job I've had. I don't come from a family of union workers, but I union people are my people, and I knew it, you know, the minute I sat down and understood that the information that I was receiving and the things I was learning about our bargaining process and who we are and what we do and what we stand for as a union, that was the place I was supposed to be. And that they were going to help support me in my job and ask me about my workload and really care about my experience as not just a new teacher, but as another teacher.
Mm-hmm. The title of your group is Social Movement Unionism, Hope in Hard Times. What's up with social movement unionism? What can you tell us about it?
One of the things we've been thinking about is how union movement as it currently exists is not sustainable, and working people are not just widgets isolated from all the other identities we occupy. Mm-hmm. You know, as teachers, we're also students, parents, residents, with a multiplicity of racial, gender, and, you know, immigration statuses. And for our communities to thrive, our unions need to recognize the intersectionality, the elements of the struggles that our community faces, and commit to organizing that achieves and advances justice for everyone in their community. And so this group in particular just wants to bring that to the forefront. We know that there is a lot on the mind of the unions right now, and we are there in solidarity. And it's an and situation, and this mm-hmm. is something that we have to spotlight to make sure that we have equitable decisions made.
Great. Well, we are getting close to the end of our time. Tell us a little bit about just the details of the group, and can people still sign up if there are any teachers out there listening that wanted to be a part of the group?
Yeah.
What would they do?
Well, our kickoff for this Inquiry to Action group is this Wednesday, November 15th, at SEIU Local 49 Union Hall from 5:30 to 7. And if you visit our website, criticaleducatorscollective.com, or find us on Facebook, you can get more information about that. And there is an RSVP form to fill out. More information with specifics about what we're doing in this project, but also just about if you want to come or just join our mailing list, just go to one of those places.
There will be food.
There will be food. Yeah. Very important for an evening meeting to have food. Okay, so once again, that's Critical Educators Collective. You can find them on Facebook. You can find them at criticaleducatorscollective.com. Your first meeting is coming up in 2 days,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so real soon. Any final thoughts? Anything you want to share with our audience? We've got about a minute.
There's a lot of work to be done. And I think people in the buildings and in our community know that. And we're really hoping to bring people together from across districts to really join in this collective momentum and fight for equity and justice for our students, coworkers, families, and our broader community. So we're hoping people reach out so that they can continue to be part of the strength that we're trying to develop.
And please join us. Let's be radical.
All right. Well, solidarity with all three of you. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thank you, Sarah Beth. Thank you, Jadra. Thank you, Sarah. This is Steven Siegel. I also want to thank our engineer, Danielle. Chris, we hope to have you back next month. You've been listening to Labor Radio. Tune in next Monday and every Monday at 6 to catch another show.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the second annual Know Your City Gala, Untold Stories, on Thursday, November 16th at 5:30 p.m. at the EcoTrust Event Space in Portland. Untold Stories is Know Your City's second annual benefit gala, and it raises essential funds to further Know Your City's programs of engaging everyday Oregonians in the history, culture, and civics of the region. This year's gala will bring together over 150 guests for an unforgettable evening, including hors d'oeuvres, drinks, dessert, performances from local talent, and a paddle raise. Again, that's the second annual Know Your City Gala, Untold Stories, on Thursday, November 16th at 5:30 p.m. at the EcoTrust Event Space, 721 Northwest 9th Avenue, Suite 200 in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes